Today's daf in Masechet Megillah, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Yudalad, and we already got up to the story of the way in which we view the common goal of Achashverosh and Haman in the destruction of Klal Yisrael. There's a very interesting Ben Ish Chai, which the Ben Ish Chai says that actually it's not exactly the same, is it? I mean, a guy who has a ditch and a guy who's got a hill, it's a different part of the metaphor. So he wants to take this as an explanation why it is that Haman had such a terrible end. If the, according to the Gemara, they're both the same, right? The Mahadav and Daima. And so why does the Gemara say it's exactly the same if the end is so different for Achashverosh versus Haman? So he wants to say that there's a difference in terms of what Klal Yisrael is compared to. Is it compared to a hill or is it compared to a hole? So according to Haman, it's a hole in the ground, and therefore all that he wants to do is to actually buy it and to make them into absolute dirt, which is, according to Achashverosh, it's not the way that he looks at it. He looks at it as being something that's a little bit too high for him to handle, so he wants to just even it out. And okay, so whatever. But it's an interesting idea because it does come to explain something that seems to be missing in the metaphor. Anyway, continuing on, so then it says, "Vayosa haMelech taba'ato Omer Abba bar Kahana." This is an amazing moment because this is like essentially for Klal Yisrael. This is the beginning of their teshuva. And Gedola haSarat taba'at Yoter mi'arba'im v'shmona neviim v'sheva neviot shenitna bulam Yisrael. This moment, all he needed to do was take off that ring, hand it over to Haman, who was about to make any gezeirah that he wanted against Yisrael. And that was the only thing after all of these derais and 48 different Nevi'im, 7 different Nevi'ot, nobody ever got Klal Yisrael to move on anything. You know, it was always a lot of heavy-duty talk, but nobody ever responded. It's sort of like giving Daf Yomi. So the idea over there must have been that taking off that ring actually got people to respond. And that was unbelievable. Kulam lo yichzirum l'tova umutab. Whereas this little act, Yahasarat HaTabat, that was something that made an immense impact. There are those who speak out that the difference between the direct sensation of a physical act versus the conceptual elements that the Nevi'im and the Nevi'ot spoke about, and that this is actually why we often find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells the Navi to do something, do an act, and that act at least should have a greater impact in the world of physicality in which we live. This, of course, consistent with many, many inyanim in terms of our own psychology. Even the Ramban points out, we don't even really get connected to our kids and feel that sense of parenthood until we change a diaper. So there's got to be that first act that actually creates the bonding that we find in nature. Tana Rabbanu. So speaking of these 48 Nevi'im, Arba'im v'shmona Nevi'im, v'sheva Nevi'ot, nitnabu lahem liYisrael, v'lo pichatu, v'lo hotiru hamasha katu batara, chutz mimikra Megillah. The only thing that they added was Mikra Megillah. Now, that's strange because, of course, they added Hanukkah. I mean, why aren't we talking about Hanukkah? This is a very interesting Nekuda. Rashi says, because, okay, I mean, there's a difference between Nevi'im and not Nevi'im. I mean, here we're talking about Chagai, Zechariah, and Malachi, who were still alive, and they participated in this Takana. And in Hanukkah, they didn't participate. But, I mean, if that's the case, isn't it a little bit weird? So then it has nothing to do with the Nevi'im. I mean, nobody said that a Navi can't be also something else, right? What do you say? You know, there was no, a Navi is not allowed to be B'chadesh Shadavar, and therefore he can't put a new tire on a car. I mean, it's a completely different issue. If they're part of Sanhedrin, it's because of the Shofet element of the individual, not because of a Navi, and he didn't claim that there was an Avias that was involved. So, I mean, does it really matter? This is the fascinating Rambam. The Rambam brings, remember we had the first Pitkala Parshata, is from Umi Goy Gadola Shelo Elohim Krovim Elav Cho Koreinu Elav. And that, like, we thought that was just another one of the Ptichot. But the Rambam, in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, he talks about the fact that the Nevi'im, after gives you all of the Tayag Mitzvahs, he says, and all of the Nevi'im that came to Yisrael were never in Novi Rishoy L'Chadish Dov, and it goes to the whole issue, and there was never anything. So how do you explain the fact that there is this takana here of Purim, which was made by Nevi'im? So this is the only time that we find anything is where it comes to express the idea of Kimi Goy Gadol HaShel Elohim Krovim Elav, which is like, what? That's the point? Kimi Goy Gadol HaShel Elohim Krovim Elav? So he takes the Gemara about the Pticha as being an actual insight into the very nature of Nevi'as, and therefore, in essence, is telling you that there's a difference between the type of takona, which is a piercing of that particular responsiveness of the Migo, but that was the Indian over here, and that's the main point of what the Nase is, that we talk about Pirsume Nisa, we think it's just, okay, wow, it was such an amazing Nase, but he's saying that's not the point. The point is that there is a Nase, and therefore a Giloy of the depth of which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is related to us in terms of Migoy Gadol, the responsiveness, in terms of Kimi Goy Gadol, which makes it into a whole different idea. So the participation of the Navi is actually particularly as the Gilui of that Kirva. And that Kirva requires that level of communication that will have in it the ability for a person to be able to tell you the Ratzon Hashem. Anyway, so what exactly is the Mokar then that the Nevi'im had for making this new takana of Megillah? My daughter, Shomer Pri Barav and Amr Yeshua ben Korcha, they said, look, I mean, it's a kal v'chomer. If Mami Avdut l'Chayrut, Amrinan Shira, the Torah gives us a gilui that there's a concept of Shira. And if that's the case, if we're talking about that, and this is the way Rashi understands it, the truth is Machlokas, sometime it's out, it's referring actually to the Halal Matzra. But in the Mokar, in the Torah itself, it would have to be from the Pasuk. Therefore, Rashi says, if we find that as part of the Gilui of Geula, there's a concept of Shira, then Mimita L'Chaim Lo Koshiken. So then that means that you have to do something which is your response to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hatzolah. Ask the Gemara, then if that's the case, I mean, that we should learn out also to say Halal, no? Yochi Halal Nami Neima. Why aren't we saying Halal? It says the Gemara, because you can't say halal. What do you mean? But we say halal on Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's a Neis in Chutz La'aretz. So Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Neis Chutz La'aretz. Hechi Amrin on Shira. So how then do we say any type of halal on Pesach? Kedetanyan, again, I just want to clarify. This could be a little bit misleading because many of the Achronim speak out that there's a din of halal that is said not on the Nase, but is said specifically on the Moed. And those are two completely different dinim. So, I mean, the explanation over here of why we would say Halal would be the Halal on the Pesach, or the Halal on Leil Pesach, as opposed to the din of the Moed. This is always something that's very confusing when people say Halal on the night of Pesach. So how does that relate to the other Halal that we say, actually, as part of the Tefillah of the Moed B'chlal? Kedetanya, Achlo Nichnesu, answers the Gemara, Achlo Nichnesu Yisrael Aretz Uchshur Kol Aratzot Lomar Shira, before Klal Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael, so then everywhere that we were was Ro'oi for the same response of Halal and Shira. But once Eretz Yisrael got its Kedusha, Mishin Nichnesu Yisrael Aretz Lo Uchshur Kol Aratzot Lomar Shira, you can't be Koveya, the Amira of Shira, on a Neisha B'chutz La'aretz. Now remember that according to the Rambam, if the point over here is specifically to be the Gilui of Kimi Goy Gadol HaShelo Elohim Krovim Elav, so then obviously Adar B'chutz La'aretz Kimi She'en Lo Eloha. So you can't possibly say Asher Elohim Krovim Elav on that Madrega. So therefore would have to be one Darga less, which would be just the commemoration, so to speak, of the Pirsum of the Neis. B'ashe'en Kerim Nachman says, no, that's not the reason. We do say Halal. And in fact, it's the Kriya of the Megillah, which is the full equivalent to Halal. Rava Amar, Rava says there's another reason. That's not the point. We would have said Halal, except that Bishlama Hatam, the whole point of Halal is that it is Koveya, something that is a complete Yitzia and brings us into the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, we express that as Halaluka, Halalu Avdei Hashem. Can we say that now? Because when we go out of Mitzrayim, the halalu avdei Hashem means avdei Hashem v'lo avdei paro. That was the whole point. Mashenkim, what are we going to say? I mean, it's almost a put down of Purim to say that. Because if we're going to say halalu avdei Hashem, we're not avdei Hashem. We're still avdei Achashverosh at the end of the Megillah. And therefore, akati avdei Achashverosh anan. So we can't really say that we were nitzal in the total sense of the or of geula. So now, okay, but according to Rova and Reb Nachman, who said that lemaisa, either the reason we don't say it is because we're not up to that point, or because we actually are saying it, because we're saying the Megillah, and the Megillah is the equivalent of halal. So I thought we said we don't say halal on a Nesha B'chutz L'aretz, make up your mind. But Tanya, I mean, are they arguing on the b'raisa? Doesn't it say, Mishinichus L'aretz, Okshu Kol Aratzot L'mar Shira? Yeah, but they hold it, Kivan Shegolu, Chazu L'ach She'edan Rishon. Now, this is interesting because it's part of a pattern of issues in the Megillah about the relationship of post-Churban to pre-Churban in terms of the Kiddush Rishon, the Kitchel HaShaita, Kitchel Atid Lavo, and the connection of the Dinim of the Megillah to Yomot Yoshua Ben Nun and various other elements that have been consistent throughout the Masech. So according to Rav and Reb Nachman, once Klal Yisrael goes into Golos, so then there is, in fact, a Madrega of Nes that can be in Chutz Laretz. And that's because, as we know, Kivan Sheyardu Yisrael Yardu Shechina Imayim, B'kol Makom Sheyardu Yardu Shechina Imayim. That's Merumas in the even Haba'im Yashresh Yaakov, this week's Parsha, from the Yerida of Yaakov to Mitzrayim. Et Yaakov, as the Zohar says, that Et is the Shechina that's always with them. Ask the Gemara, wait a minute, you said there were 48 Nevi'im. I mean, I understand that's something of a throwaway line, but I mean, that's a pretty strange line, because doesn't it say, Vayi ish echad min ha-ramatayim tzofim? Now, here we're talking about like one guy, min ha-ramatayim tzofim. Now, truly, this is, of course, only up to the time of Shmuel, but nonetheless, it's calling him a Navi from out of the Mataim Tzofim, one of 200 different Nevi'im who said Nevi'is to Yisrael. So even though, fine, there may be more than that now, we're going to see later on, but at that point, Elkanah was one of 200 people up until then that had said over Nevi'is. So why do you say there were only Memches Nevi'im? No, there were tons of Nevi'im. Mia Tuva Havi, Kedetanya. There were like over a million Nevi'im for Klal Yisrael. But we're not talking about people who were Nevi'im. We're talking about Nevi'ut. That was a Nevi'ut that was meant as a new insight for Yisrael to develop with. And that was a Nevi'us that was Hutzrichu L'dorot. So those were Nevi'us that were actually Nichtava. Those things were written down. They could be Me'orer Teshuva, Rashi says, different Matzavim. But whatever wasn't necessary for the entirety, as this the Rambam again brings the halacha, that a Nevi'ut is, the point of Nevi'ut is not to say over Nevi'us to people. The point of Nevi'ut is a development of the human mind. And therefore, mi yisodei hadat, says the Rambam, is to ladat sha'akadosh baruch hu is minabe et b'nei ha'adam. He makes their mind work in a fashion that is capable of a heightened consciousness, which we call nevius. And that is the main point. It's possible, says the Rambam, again, based on this Gemara, it's possible that that nevi'ut will also be a shlichut, that since I have an ability to actually communicate with you life forms, so how about saying something over? That's something else. But the idea of the ability for a person to be menabe, this is given to a person for his madrega. It's personal, completely personal. And therefore, when we talk about Harbe Nevi'im Omdulem Yisrael, that's because the Darga of Yisrael is served by every time someone reaches that level of consciousness. That's the point of Klal Yisrael, is the Tzelem Elokim, which, as the Rishonim point out, is the Darga of Ruach HaKedesh and so on. So there were many, many people like that, Baruch Hashem, and Kein Yirbu Kehena V'Kehena Rabbis. But the only thing that we were referring to over here was Nevi'us that was necessary in terms of what we think Nevi'us is about, something that is said to us. And that was only the 48 that we're saying over here. And at the time of Elkanah, we couldn't say there were millions of Nevi'im, but by that, because remember, there was a breakthrough. The breakthrough was after the time of Elkanah. And where's that breakthrough? Vayosef Hashem le'eraot b'shilo ki. It's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had already made this breakthrough of Roya with Shmuel that then Vayosef le'eraot, because each darga becomes a darga that is inheritable by others. So therefore, by the time we're talking about now, it's just going to be millions flying Kiyotze Mitzrayim. Reb Shmuel bar Nachmini Amar, the meaning of Ramatayim Tzofim is Adam Haba Mishtei Ramot Shetzofot Ze Et Ze. Ramatayim Tzofim is a remez to where it was physically that he was. So there was a valley, and there were two Yishuvim, one on either side, that you could see each other, and that was the Ramazim to the kind of things that Elkanah was engaged in, and being Ma'achid Klal Yisrael. Reb Chanin Omar, this is a man who came from two people. Adam Abba Mibnei Adam Shomdim Berumo Shel Olam. We know where Elkanah came from. He came from Kerach, as we're going to trace. So who are these people that were Oimed Berumo Shel Olam? Remember, we had the sugya of Bnei Kerach, that Lam Natzeh Bnei Kerach. We said, Bnei Korach Lo Metu. It says Beferish in the Torah that at the time that Korach died, his children did not die, even though everybody else's bunim were swallowed and so on. And we said, Tana Mishum Rabbeinu, Makom Nitbatzer Lahem BeGihinom VeOmdu Alav. So they stood on the highest mountain, so to speak, the highest place you could possibly stand in Ganem itself, that they weren't Yored LeGanem because of the teshuva that they did. And that was the B'nai Kerach, that was Keneged. This was the whole reason, if you recall, that Kerach went sour in such a stupidly open way, because he said, if Shmuel comes from me, and over there it says Moshe Aaron b'Kohanavu Shmuel b'Korei Shemo, so then apparently Kol HaGedula Hazot Yotze Mimeni, so he didn't understand that his children had done teshuva, but the point is that his children include Elkanah and his son Shmuel. Exactly. That's the Ramatayim Tzofim. Sheva Nevi'ot. Okay, so you're telling me there's 48. We'll get to that, but who are these seven women? There were seven women that were Nevi'ot on the Darga of Nevi'ot and Nitzricha L'Dorot. Like, who was that? Well, there's Sarah, there's Miriam, there's Dvora, there's Chana, there's Abigail, and there's Chulda, and there's Esther. How do we know that these were Nevi'ot? Where do they show up as Nevi'ot? Sarah, because the Torah stresses that her name is Yiska, but Yiska means Sukkah, and Sukkah means Ruach HaKodesh, exactly. So since she is referred to as Yiska in the Pasuk of Avi Milka V'Avi Yiska, V'Omar Rabbi Yitzchak, Yiska is actually Sarah. I mean, that's the only other person that we find with Milka. So this is Sarah. Lama Nikra Shema Yiska, Shesachta B'Ruach HaKodesh, Shenemar Kol Asher Tomar Elecha Sarah Shema B'Kola. So you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says her insight into the relationship of Yishmael is absolutely greater than yours and needs to be responded to. Davar Acher, Yiska, she's also called Yiska because HaKol Sochin B'Yofya. Everybody was just captured and speaking about or staring at her amazing beauty, as Avram himself points out later. Miriam. Well, it says, Vatikach Miriam Hanivia Achot Aaron. I mean, that's about as explicit as you could possibly have it. She is a Nevia, and it calls her a Nevia as she is the sister of Aaron. What would be wrong with being the sister of Moshe? She's only the sister of Aaron. V'lo Achot Moshe, Omer Nachman Amrav, because that was the Giloy of her Nevias. She was Mitnaba when she was only the sister of Aaron and not the sister of Moshe, because it was before Moshe was born. So she was the one, this week's parasha, she was the one, Va'omeret Atida Imi Shetelei Bein Sheyoshiat Yisrael. And indeed, when Moshe Rabbeinu was born, we know that the entire house became full of light. And that was, we were talking about actually before Shabbos, Vayaro Toki Tovu, that Tov was the original Or, the Or Agonos, and it was Mismale, Vayaro Lokimet Or Ki Tov. And then Omar Avias, her father, was so moved that his daughter was Zeichat and Vias and Shakal Rasha, Omar Labitin, Nitkaimanevu Atech. Unbelievable. This was, it must be a true Nevias. But then they had to throw Moshe into the Yor and figured basically that's the end of him. Omar Aviavit Fachal Roshar. So her father gave her a pounding on her head and said, Biti, Big Shot, giving us all this Nevias and false hope. What happened to your big Nevias? That's why we find in the Pasuk, what do you mean, l'de'a? What's l'de'a? I mean, obviously, she's standing there. She's ready. But what is to know about? Ah, that was the point. She knew that this is going to have an ending. And she wanted to know how her Nevi'ut is going to possibly work out under these circumstances. How in the world would he end up not only being saved, but obviously through this event being put into a position where he would be Moshiach Es Yisrael? That was the darg of her clarity of the meaning of what it was that she had understood. Devorah, Dichti also says, about as explicitly as you want, not in the Chumash, obviously, but Dvorah Isha Nivia, Eshet Lapidot. What's the Eshet Lapidot mean? I mean, why is that important over here? So, must be, since it doesn't help us identify her because nobody knows who Lapidot is, right? So, what is it coming to tell me? It's got to be telling me something about her. So it must mean that she was involved in the lapid, in the torch that was in the Beis HaMikdash. And that's the menorah. Shaita osa petilot lamikdash. So even though the mikdash at that point obviously meant Shiloh, but it's the, maybe there was even, I was thinking that maybe there was even at that point in Shiloh, there was a getter of a Simchas Beis HaShoeva, which is a big question. How would that work out? But lapidot is usually used in terms of a torch, and menorah is not kosher as a torch. So she's sitting underneath this palm tree over there. So why dafka under a palm tree? I mean, is there something specifically that we call the palm tree the place where she was yosheves as a lemishpat? Do people usually come to a shofetet? Very unusual job for a woman, Nevi'ah, that she should be a shofetet, which has nothing to do with her being a Nevi'ah, l'chora, as we just mentioned. So what would that be, coming up to Devorah under a palm tree? Omer Reb Shimon ben Avshalom, well, of course, because a palm tree is the only tree that you can rely on as providing you no problem. Gives you plenty of shade, but it gives you no yichud at all, because since it's so high, so because of that, she was very careful not to be mityachedet with anyone. So this was the palm tree specifically, and that was even a simen of the purity of the relationship with her. I mean, that was goof of the point, you know. So in modern terms, you have to, you know, protect yourself with cameras and so on and so forth. She had a camera under her palm tree. So just as the palm always has the heart of the palm, very unique, it doesn't go to any direction, straight through the middle of the tree. That time when everyone turned to her, it was with that same sense of yichud. Chana is a Nevi'ah, because it says, Vatitpalil Chana Vatomar. Alatz libi b'Hashem, Rama Karni b'Hashem. What exactly is that? My Karen? So the Rama Karni is a Nevi'ah. Rama Karni. Velo Rama Pachi. She specified only that which I did with a horn, and not that which I did with the oil flask. Because she actually was the source of David and also of Shaul. So David and Shlomo, who were made with, you know, they were made malachim with a keren. That's what her child did, Shmuel. Nimshichu. So then they were nimshichu bekeren. They were nimshicha malchutan. Mashenken Shaul and Yehu, who were made kings, but they weren't made kings with a keren. And it says over there specifically that what it was that Shmuel had used was the pach, vayitzok Shmuel, vayikach Shmuel, pach HaShemen. So the pach HaShemen lo nimshecha malchutan. It did not have a successful reign. Ein kadosh kashem ki ein biltecha. Once we're talking about her Shira, let's talk about the meaning of those words. Ki ein biltecha. What does ein biltecha mean? I mean, obviously, ein biltecha, there's no one else besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It means, artikel biltecha, ela ein levalotecha. She's pointing out a special midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shlok, midah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, midat basar vadam. Midat basar vadam ma'asei yadav mevalimoto. Whatever it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes is fundamentally different, because the bria of a human being is something that is meant and usually does outlive the creator of that thing, whereas HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mevaleh ma'asei yadav. Ve'ein tzur k'Eloheinu. Ein tzur k'Eloheinu means there is no designer, no artist. Ein tzayar k'Eloheinu. Because no matter how good an artist you are, adam tzar tzura gabei akot. Okay, so you're going to make a beautiful picture. You'll do a beautiful drawing. Can you turn it into a living organism? Eino yochol atil ba ruach b'shama k'ravayim b'ni b'yayim. Over here, an embryo develops inside of another form. And how do we know that Avigail was a Neviah? Dichtiv. Here is Avigail, who is now on her donkey, and she's coming down that other side of the mountain. And this was, of course, when David had gone and sent people to Naval, and Naval had insulted David and insulted the people that he sent. I mean, it was outrageous. This is after David has given the guy protection, and Naval refers to it, you know, to protection money. He wants protection money from him. There's all kinds of upstart thieves nowadays. You know, there are lots of mafiosos. I mean, unbelievable. Talk about David that way. And David held that he was a murdered by Malchus, and he was coming with his men to kill him. So Avigail wanted to prevent that from happening. So she brings out all of the supplies that he had asked from Naval. She loads up her donkey, and she's coming down the mountain to meet up with David. So what does it mean, Beseter Ahar? I mean, why do we call it the Seter Ahar, the hidden part of the mountain? It should just say she was coming down the mountain, Minahar, right? Omar Rabba Bar Shmuel, because she was Mar Adam, Seter means Al Iske Dam, Haba Min Hasitarim. So she comes to David to ask him a shaila about whether certain Dam that she had seen was Dam Nidais or not. So Natla Dam Heratolo. She says, I need your help. Hold on a minute. Calm down and just give me a psak halacha over here. She looks like she's crazy. Vechimarim Dam Balayla. Understand, it's the night. How in the world am I supposed to be Raya Dam? So she says to him, oh, V'chidanim dine nefashot balayla. What, and you're allowed to come now to kill this guy? Because, I mean, you yourself just pointed out, it's the middle of the night. Omar la, so he says to her, I don't need to judge him. This novel mamzer that you're married to is a murdered b'malchus. There's no chia for me to don him. A melech is allowed to simply, if it's clear that the guy is chay of misa, so I'm allowed to kill him. Thus, this is a whole discussion about particularly whether there is at some level of din. It's clear that there must be some level of din. You just can't accept things about it. And so Tosfos the Rambam says, semalocha, there's no limits on the specific way in which that din proceeds. But obviously, you just hear something and kill him. And so all these people are coming with him. Anyway, so she says to him, listen, adayin sha'ul kayam v'lo yatzati v'cha ba'olam. You do not have a din of a melech in terms of merida b'malchus at this time. It's like a shocking thing for her as a woman to say to him, because the din of merida b'malchus is only once it's clear to everyone that you're a melech. And since at this time Shaul is still acting as a melech, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu said he's supposed to be retired, but nonetheless, that prevents there from being a din of merida on you. And it's because of that that he said to her, oh my God, Baruch ta'amech uvrucha at asher kilitene hayom hazeh mibo bedamim. He talks to her not about her soothing words, but he talks to her about her svara, baruch ta'amech and brucha at, in the way that you were able to get this through to me and to get me to understand and save me from getting into this bloodiness. What bloodiness? I mean, blood, you could say. Damim tarte mashma. Obviously, this had to do with the dam nida that we spoke about before. But what's the bloodiness? So with the girsa over here, the Rishonim Taina, it doesn't make sense that he was halach le'ora, because then that would mean she would have to uncover her thigh, right? But I mean, Abigail is going to show her thigh off to him. So therefore, and that would give off the light of her incredible beauty. So the correct girsa would then be halach le'ora. He got so turned on by her. That was the thing, that he went to the fire of his own desire. He walked for three parts. So anyway, so he says to her, Beferish, listen, you know, I got to take you to bed. Ashmili. So she says to him, listen here, buddy. Lotia zot lechalafuka. This should not be that which Fs you up. That's fuka is actually the word as Thomas, what's his name? Oh, who wrote? I forgot his name. Lives in a Cell. Late Night with Mahler. Come on. Who is that? Lewis Thomas. Thank you. So, okay. So Lewis Thomas points out that word, four-letter word for intercourse, is common all over the world throughout every culture, that it always means some horrible mess-up of some kind. It's always related to the filthiest thing that you could say. So she says to him, listen, enough fuka, enough of that. We don't need another one of these, and you're going to have enough of that, because zot michlal deyika achriti, which was Batsheva, you know how much problems you got into with that big one? So we don't need another one. And in the end, sure enough, that's what happened to David. So he saves David from this damim. So this is from an additional fuka. And therefore, she is clearly a Nevi'ah, that she like recognized this immediately and recorded it for David. And then she says, Vaita nefesh adoni tzrura bitzror ha-chayim. And then, wow. So then this will be mechaber you. That means that she has the insight to the whole nature of David's place in Olam Haba and so on. This becomes, of course, one of the most well-known psukim in all of the Torah. Ki avid miftur amine. And when she was saying goodbye, she says something interesting. Ve'tiva Hashem la'adoni v'zacharta tamatech. Whoa, well, that's quite a goodbye. And when things start going well for you, don't forget about me. Omer of Nachman, yep, that's exactly what people always say. Itata b'hadishuta pilcha. While the woman is telling you something, she's busy spinning a web. That's exactly what she was doing. Listen, right now I'm married to Naval, but we assume that this guy isn't going to last very long. So, sure enough, 10 days later, he's gone. So she wants to be remembered, meaning I would love to go to bed with you, as you said, but we got to wait, but don't forget me. Or so others say that there's another common saying, which is shofil va'azil bar avza, but enoi metayfe. Did you ever notice the way a goose walks around? It's always like it's looking down, but when he looks down, his eyes are looking ahead. So the face is down and the eyes are ahead. So she's looking like, you know, no, I mean, who am I? Just this little girl, but don't forget me. So in fact, in those words, David sends to her and he takes her. Chulda. How do we know that Chulda was a Nevi'ah? Dechtiva yele chilkiyo ha-kohen v'achikam v'achbor. So here they're going, and it says that they went to Chulda ha-Nevi'ah. So again, beferish, this Chulda was a Nevi'ah. Now, first of all, how is that possible? You're telling me that she is there, but welcome to Koy Yirmiyo. And she is taking on the mantle of Nevi'ahs to be responsive to people's questions to a Nevi'ah? I mean, how could she do that? What a chutzpah. Yirmiyah's right there, and she's the one that's taking the questions in. So this is unbelievable. So this was the entire story where Yoshiyahu had found the Sefer Torah. I mean, this was an extremely powerful moment, and it was open to the Yikach Hashem as Malkecha Hashem, and they wanted to know whether does this mean that the end is there? Is there anything to do? Is it referring to right away? So, I mean, it's not the kind of thing that you write, you send a message to Chulda and not Yirmiyahu. Amri Berav, Mishmeda Rav, Chulda was related to Yirmiyahu. Krovat Yirmiyahu Haita, Velo Avi Makpid Aleha. So we're going to see that Chulda and Yirmiyahu came from Rahav, and therefore, all interconnected stories. And this, of course, the whole story began with the attraction of Rahav and Yoshua. But anyway, so they came from Rahav, and therefore, he wasn't makpid on her because, you know, oh, yeah, yeah, my little niece, Chulda, yeah, you're sure you can go to Chulda. And Yoshia Gufe, but I understand, Yoshio has this emergency, and this horrible thing has happened with the Gilui of the Sefer, and this is who he wants to ask. He wants to ask Chulda. He doesn't want to ask Yirmiyahu. You're talking about something that is central to the whole fate of Klal Yisrael, and you're going to ask Chulda. Heti shavik Yirmiyahu meshadet legabam. Understand, she's like, compared to Yirmiyahu, she's like a second-rate Nevi'a. Amri devei Revi Shila. This is an amazing Gemara. Mipnei she'anashim rachmaniyot. Women have more empathy than men have. What? I thought she's going to ask what God has to say about things. What's the difference? Whether she's male or a female. And of course, this is Megala on the entire point. Because the Gemara makes such a big deal, 48 Nevi'im, 7 Nevi'ot. I mean, what's the difference? Just say there were 55 Nevi'im. I mean, male, the gender of the using male includes female in Lashon HaKodesh. When you have to say specifically how many male and female there are, you see that the whole concept, even though there's lots of Mefarshim that try to explain this away, that since she's Rachmanias, so she's going to, therefore, she'll be Mispalilat. That's not the point. The whole point in the sugya is the difference between men and women in the heftz of their nevias. You see an amazing thing here, which, of course, is central to the whole parsha that we just had, and we spoke about it on Erev Shabbos. The Navi forms the reality. The vision that's given to that Navi and the way that the interaction is with that vision, that's the whole reason that the Pekida in Mitzrayim is completely formed by the reaction of Moshe Rabbeinu to the Pekida. The same thing happens over here. Yoshio is convinced that the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will communicate the Inyanim will be in terms of her reaction, her tefillahs, her care, and her tenderness towards Yisrael. And therefore, it will certainly impact the Nevi'as. And Nevi'as, well, you think it's a coincidence that every Navi has a different signon, and God talks to him in the different signon, stam? The signon comes from the mind of the Navi. The Navi is the mind of the Navi. That's the whole point that the Rambam is making, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Minabed B'nei Adam. So therefore, it's the person qua person that is the Navi. So of course, it makes all the difference in the world who it is that you're talking to. So he chose Chulda for that reason. Now, the whole response to this Sefer that he found should be given in a way that leaves the greatest opening for Teshuvah and for saving Yisrael. Rabbi Yochanan says, I'll tell you why he didn't go to Yirmiyahu. You don't have any right that it's because of the difference of the men and the women. It's simply that Yirmiyahu was not there, because that was exactly the time that Yirmiyahu would have been missing. Missing? Yes. Because Yirmiyahu lo havi atam shalach lahachzir aseret hashvatim. This was after the Maisa of Sancheriv, and they had gone into Golis, and therefore Yirmiyahu wanted to be machzir as many people as possible, and to be able to get them to have the presence of the Aseres HaShvatim. And I'll bring you a raya. Because it says, Beferish, now this was talking about already, this is Yecheskel who's saying this, and this was before the Churban of the Bayis, but it was after the time already of the Yechonia moment, which was the second year of Nebuchadnezzar, and obviously there were already all of these people that were missing from Eretz Yisrael, which means that the Yovel should have been Batel immediately then, because you'd no longer had Yisrael Alad Masam. And Yecheskel is telling everybody, you should know something terrible is going to happen. Hamocher elamim kar lo yashuv. That which was sold, the one who sold it, is never going to get it back. Now, what is that supposed to mean? Of course not. It was way after the Bittel of Yovel, and so there will not be any kind of dinim of Mechira in Yovel. After Yovel batel, the Navim it nabe alav she batel. Understand this? So the Yovel was long batel, and now you're coming along and telling me something terrible is going to happen because there won't be a Yovel. Elamalamed. So this teaches us that actually there was the presence of the Aseres HaShvatim, and that Yirmiyo wasn't there at that time. So how did indeed they get back? Malamed Yirmiyo Yechziran, which I'll show you that all of this was true in a moment, but you could see the pattern among the Psukim. So then that would mean, obviously it doesn't necessarily mean he brought back the entire Aseres HaShvatim, but what we need in order to have the Dinim of Yovel be in effect is that we need to have representatives of each one of the Aseres HaShvatim. And therefore, he brought back enough of the Shevet that would be in the Mokum of their Nachala that it would be them, because we know from the Pasuk that Yoshiyahu himself was a melech over the Aseres HaShvatim, which is crazy. How could Yoshio be a melech on Aseres HaShvatim? It says, Vayomer, so here Yoshio is taking his Barnea tour around the area of Shomron and so on. And he says, Ma'atziyun alazasha niroe. Vayomru elav anshei ha'ir, this is the kever of the Isha Elohim, asher ba mi'huda, vayikrata devarim ha'ila asher asita, Al Amizbach Beit El. You did all of these things, because it says that when Yoshio was running around and he was destroying all of the Avodah Zarah, he was Seref the Atzomais of the Avodah Habal, he went to Beit El. And that was the very Mizbeach that Yeravam ben Nevat was on, and there was the whole Meiser where the Navi says to him that this, your human bones are going to be burnt on this Mizbeach. And indeed, in later years, the people told him, oh my heavens, this is exactly what the Navi had said at that time. This was the whole story with Ido HaNavi. And he was therefore clearly in Beit El. Now, what in the world was Yoshio doing on a Barnea tour in the Mizbeach in Beit El, since that was the area of the Aseres HaShvatim? What was he doing there? Ela Melamed. He indeed was empowered over the area of the Aseres HaShvatim, and therefore he was able to do all of these maisim on the Mizbeach of Beit El that Yeravam had built. So it works out perfectly that if the story of Yoshio, when he discovers the coming Golas, was at a time in which for some reason we see that Chulda had to respond and not Yirmiyo, and we know that that was that slice of time where Yoshio ultimately then becomes the Melech over Beit El, it must be that there was a Jewish Yishuv that had come back to Beit El, and therefore we connect the two events, because those are the only hints that we get in the Torah. It must be that Yirmiyo was actually away taking care of that which would allow Yoshio to be the Melech over the Aseres HaShvatim. Rav Nachman says you can see this clearly from the Pasuk in Hosea, because we're talking over there at the time of Yoshio, and Hosea writes, we've got the Google Map location that Jeff just sent in of where
this. It's a picture.
It's actually a picture. Okay, amazing. So there's the Mizbeach. So this is the Remez that we have in Hosea, where it says, Gam Yehuda shat katsir lach b'shuvi shvutami. And as far as Yehuda is concerned, there's a real katsir, there's a real harvest that's ready for you when I bring back those who went into Golos. So that means that there must have been those who had gone into the Golos of Aseres HaShvatim that were given over to Malchus Yehuda. And that is the Remez to Yoshio. How do we know that Esther was a Nevi'ah? Dichti, Vayi bayom ha-shilishi batilbash Esther Malchut. Esther dressed herself in Malchut. How do you dress yourself? I mean, it should say Bigdei Malchut, no? What it must mean is that we know that the Lashon of Nevi'ahs is often referred to as covering over a person as Levush. And that's what it must mean over here. Lavashta Ruach HaKodesh. Because we see the Lashon Gufa with Amasai. It says, K'tiv Acha Vatilbash, Uchtiv Atam V'ruach Lafsha at Amasai. And that's when he was talking about the Brocha to David HaMelech, and he said to him, oh, this is, you're going to be Mavurach for the Torah, and so on. So that Ruach, that is Lafsha, is the Ruach of Nevi'ahs. Omer of Nachman, you know, but I'll tell you one thing you see from all of this. I mean, women are still women. I don't care if they're Nevi'ahs. You know, and one thing I can tell you is that lo ya'ayi hirutu lanoshe, it's really very unbecoming for a woman to get stuck up. And that's what happens to these women that become nevi'as. Look, there were two women that were like really up there, you know, big nevi'os, and they were Yehiran. And because of that, they had disgusting names, Visanya and Shemayu. One of them is called the bumblebee, and the other one is called the weasel, you know. And who exactly is the bumblebee? Well, obviously, I'm talking about the Devorah, who is the bee, right? Okay, so we call her the bee. So why do we call her the bee? Because look how she acts. Vatishlach vatikra levarak. So Devorah sends the messenger. She's sending to the God of Adar. Come on, come over here, right? Vatishlach vatikra levarak. I mean, you don't think it would have been more mbekavod that she should go to him? And the weasel, of course, referring to Chulda, who is Garab in the Chulda as the Garab Ikre Habatim. So it says over there, tell that guy who sent you to ask me whether he is going to actually live or not, tell the guy, instead of saying, tell the Melech, no, I mean, don't you think that you should actually tell Yoshio? Omer of Nach, Chulda was actually from the descendants of Yoshua. Because when it talks about Chulda, it says Ben Charchas. So over there it says that Chilkiyahu HaKohen, they went to Chulda HaNevi'ah, who was the Ben Charchas. So she's Eser Shalom, Ben Tikva, Ben Charchas, which we understand is a reference to not her husband, but to Chulda. Fine. So it must be Nogea, her own, even though it seems to be saying who her husband was. And that Charchas is the only place we find that reference is Timnat Cheres. Timnat Cheres is the whole story of the burial of Yoshua. So therefore, we understand that she is related in some deep way to Yoshua. Eitve Ravina Sabal Rav Nachman Shmona Nevi'im Vehim Kohanim Yatsumi Rachav Hazona. That relationship with Yoshua and Rochav was actually the source of 8 Nevi'im over the courses of the generations. For Elohim, Neria, Baruch, Siraya, Machsia, Yirmiyo, Chilkia, Hanamel, and Shalom. And Rav Yehuda says, you forgot one. There was also Chulda HaNevi'ah, and she was with Bnei Baneh Shalachav HaZona Haita. And I'll show you, because it says over here, by Chulda, it says Ben Tikva. Again, a Pashta is a reference to her husband, but again, we understand it to mean, therefore, a remez to her. And it says Ben Tikva. Well, you know what Tikva is? That is the famous Tikvat Chut HaShani that was given to Rachav, and that Tikvat Chut HaShani led her back to Yoshua, as the Zohar points out. Omar Leis, Reb Nachman said, Eina Saba. So this is Reb Eina Saba. So he used to call him Eina Saba. Some said he used to always call him Patya Uchma, Mr. Black Pot. So because Rabbi, he actually looked like this was that whole story of, remember we had the Bata Kesar says, how could such beautiful Chochma be in such an ugly pot? That was the whole remez. Anyway, so the idea over here is also the same thing, that it's a Patya Uchma, somebody who was made himself Mushkar on Divrei Torah and so on. So he was referring to the godless of his Chochma Gufa because he was a Patya Uchma, just like in that story. Mini Yuminach Tistayim Shmaitta, between the two of us, if we put the two stories together, then you'll see what the truth is. What happened was that Rachav became a Gioret, and the Igair of Anasba Yoshua, she ends up marrying Yoshua indeed. And therefore, what happens over here is that she did come from Rochav, but she came from Yoshua. And it's not only not a contradiction, that's the whole point. She came from Yoshua, Timnat Cheres, Charchas, because Yoshua had ended up marrying Rochav. Wait a minute, Yoshua, I thought Yoshua didn't have children. Mi'avile Zarle Yoshua, doesn't the pasuk come to an abrupt and strange end in Divrei Hayomim when it talks about Nun Beno, Yoshua Beno, boing, and that's it. It never continues on with the lineage of Ephraim past Yoshua. So apparently never any children. No, it doesn't mean he didn't have any children. Chas v'shalom. Bani lo havile. He didn't have any male children. But benatan havile. He did have female children. So now that means that we have this whole list. Now, we do know about the Nevi'im of Yirmiyahu. We know Hanamel. We know Baruch. And we know Sariah. But these people are interrelated because the Chilkiah, Shalom, Neriah, and Machsiah, they are actually the parents of the Yirmiyahu, Hanamel, Baruch, and Sariah. And we're making an assumption over here, apparently, that the parents were also Nevi'im. So Bishlam, Inu, Mifreshei. I understand that Yirmiyahu, Hanamel, and so on, they are called Nevi'im, and it says Beferish that they are Nevi'im. And there's examples on each one of them. But where does it say that Chilkiah, Shalom, Neriah, and Chas, where does it say that they were Nevi'im? You're listing that, says the Gemara, because Ula gives us the Yesod of how to trace the Nevi'im. Because Ula says, wherever a Navi is mentioned in the Torah, Sheshmo v'shem aviv. So kol makom sheshmo v'shem aviv is mentioned together with one of the nevias of that navi. So it says Ploni ben Ploni was minabe. So then that means that he is the son of a navi. But if it doesn't mention the father's name, there's a reason for that, because it's biyadua shu navi v'lo ben navi. The father's name is not mentioned because he was Zeicha to Nevi'is on his own, and he didn't come to it through his father, who was a Navi. And furthermore, says Ula, if, as happens in numerous places, the Mokum of the Navi is mentioned, Shmo v'shem Iro miforash, so then Biyadua shu miotahair, then the Torah is giving you information about where he was born. But if it's only a name, then if there's no city, you have to understand that his mokar is in Yerushalayim, which of course is the center of Ruach HaKodesh, and that's the whole story about Yonah getting his Ruach HaKodesh from Yerushalayim. And b'matnita tana, there's another point, and that is kosher ma'asavu ma'aseavu tafsetumim. Wherever the Torah does not give us a lot of information about a family, but we do know that one of the members of the family is l'shevach. One of them is a tzaddik. Parat l'cha ketub echad mehem l'shevach. Let's say it says, Dvar Hashem, asher hayal Tzfanya ben Kushi ben Gedalia. So over there we know that this, and this talks about him being a Navi. So it's b'diyadua shu tzaddik ben tzaddik. So then you know, if you can trace the one of them as being a tzaddik, it must mean that all of, that means Kushi, Gedalia, there are also tzaddikim that were roy for Nevi'is, even though they didn't have it. V'chol sheparatcha katub echad mehem lignai, let's say, it says, Vayi b'chodesh ha-shvi'i ba Yishmael ben Netanya ben Elishama, and we know that Yishmael was not a nice guy. He was the one who killed Gedalia ben Achikam. So then, biyadua, that the whole family is, biyadua, shu rasha ben rasha.